I'd like to add my welcome to every all that are present this morning. We cannot say enough how thankful we are to God that we can be His children and that we can assemble to worship Him. If somebody said you cannot worship God anymore, you cannot come on Sunday, and would that bother you? Or would you be like, wow, all right, I got a lot of free time on Sunday now? Hopefully our attitude is we would hate that. I think we've seen some of that during COVID, where it didn't really meet, it wasn't that big a deal. But we're commanded to come, and we're commanded to worship Him, one that's worthy of our worship. Appreciate Brian this morning, the excellent class, very timely subject. I have got a message back from Alan. He's, although there briefly, is always hitting the ground running and is doing some really good work, and hopefully we can hear about that when he gets back. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'd encourage you to bring them out. Sometimes preachers choose or not choose to have scriptures on the overhead, and this morning there will be zero scriptures on the overhead. So I'm going to encourage you, take your Bible out, find a pew Bible, whatever you want to do, use your phone, and turn to Matthew chapter 12, and we're going to begin in verse 3. Whenever you study the scriptures, especially Jesus' teaching, and I'm amazed at the master teacher and how he taught. I mean, it's a study within itself just to learn how Jesus taught, what he said when he taught, the approach he taught with, and it's something we can all learn from. But specifically, let's look at Matthew chapter 12. And in verse 1, let's look at this. It says, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain and to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, look, you have disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath. But he said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest? And verse 5, or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Now, my intention is not, there's a lot to unpack just in those five verses, and that's not my goal. Matter of fact, a lot of the verses that we're going to look at this morning, we could really dive into the context as to what was really said in that exact verse, but that's not my point. But what I want to point out this morning in my approach is this, and that's the words, have you not read? If you did a word search just on have you not read in the scriptures, Jesus especially has said this many times. And we see here even with the Pharisees. Now the Pharisees, they thought they had them. And we see throughout the scriptures how the Pharisees are constantly watching Jesus. During his 3.5-year ministry, they could not wait to find something that Jesus did wrong, and they were observing him, and we will see a few of those examples this morning. But Jesus, he puts them in their place. And of course, he quotes scriptures, but he uses this statement, have you not read? So he's telling them and chiding them, if you will, and rebuking them and saying, you wouldn't be asking these questions if you had read. And he goes into the explanation here. This is something that we see throughout the scriptures. Not only here in verse 3, he also repeats it in verse 5. Or have you not read in the law? Now the Pharisees, the scribes, they claim they know the law. They could quote the law. They could expound the law. They can point things out in the law that others are doing wrong. But when the tide is turned, and Jesus says to them, have you not read? He puts them in their place. And again, it's not my goal, but we see here the context and how Jesus is trying to answer their question based on the scriptures. Now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 19. Now, this is another occasion where this Jesus said this. And again, I believe we start here in Matthew chapter 19. I'll give you time to turn over there. 19, Matthew 19, verse 1, if you will. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these sayings, he departed from Galilee and came into the coast of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him and healed them. The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, and saying unto him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Well, what a profound question. A lot of people ask those same things today. And he answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female, and for this cause, and said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave to his wife, and they shall twain shall be one flesh. And today we may get in a conversation about divorce and remarriage, and we may say, have you not read? If you haven't read, let's turn to the scriptures. Now, remember here, just in the two examples I've showed you, Jesus didn't step aside and stop philosophizing about, you know, that the theory behind marriage is that God wants you to be happy, and so therefore, no, he didn't do any of that. The two examples we've looked in Matthew chapter 12, Matthew 19, what did he do? He said, have you not read? He refers them to God's word. He refers them to the scriptures. And this is what we have to do today when we're having discussions with people. Most people pretty much don't care what we think. And I don't really care to expound what I think because I just turn to the scriptures. And if you're having a Bible study with somebody and you tell them that the baptism is necessary for the remission of sins, and they read Acts 2:38 and they want to argue with you, I just tell them, well, you're arguing with the scriptures. That's what the scriptures say. That's what Jesus did. Let's look at another example, Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21 and verse 42. Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same and has become the head of the corner, that is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes? Matthew chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. But as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. So just by these four occurrences that we've already looked at within a couple minutes, we see the importance of this statement, have you not read? And that's the focus of my sermon this morning, is have you not read? Now, from the very outset, we see the importance of the scriptures. The importance of the scriptures in our life. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Our faith comes from here. Our faith doesn't come from somebody preaching the gospel, although we may hear it. We may hear it. We may read it. Our faith doesn't come from our wife. Our faith doesn't come from our husband. Our faith doesn't come from our parents. Our faith comes by ourselves, for ourselves. We've studied ourselves, and it's our faith. And when we stand before God on the judgment day, we're not going to say, well, my parents now, they told me this, or they told me that, or the preacher said this, or the preacher said, or somebody teaching the Bible class, they taught this. And that's why I believe that. Talk to a Catholic about this. You probably cannot talk to a Catholic that within a few minutes of their discussion, they're going to refer to the priest. The priest tells us, don't study the scriptures. We'll tell you what you have to believe. Just put it aside. And we're going to see later on that's not acceptable in God's sight. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. What does that say? For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one of that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For it is the power of God. How important? Unto salvation. That's how important the gospel is, and we're not ashamed of it. How else are you going to get the information about what we have to do than from the scriptures and turning to see what God has told us about? And each and every one of us have the responsibility to look at the scriptures as it relates to salvation, and make sure that what we're doing is correct as well. Let me get ahead on a slide here. So why read? We looked at Romans 10:17 and 1 verses 16. And we also, 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Let's take a look at that. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of man, but as added is in truth the word of God, which effectively worketh also in you that believe. A couple things. It's not the word of man. Never take the word of man over the word of God. Now, if somebody preaches or teaches and they're teaching the word of God, that's not really their word. Everything I'm reading this morning is not mine, it's God's. But don't ever listen to men as the authority. It's just not there. They don't have the authority. We received the word of God, which you heard of us, that was the apostles. You received it not as the word of it, but as it is the truth, the word of God. And whether it was Paul or the other apostles or men that were teaching the scriptures, there's really, without doubt, you can open your Bible and read it for yourself, that they gave credit and they said, this is the word of God. This is from God. This is what God wants us to do. It was never their own thoughts. It was never their own ideals. It was what was coming from the scriptures. So now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 22. Back to Matthew. Just some reasons why we would read. We obviously seen that our faith comes from it, that the power of God comes from it, and the word of truth comes from it. Those first three verses we just looked under this heading. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 29, a negative thought, Jesus answered and said to them, you do err not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Let's turn over there and look at the context just a minute on this one. Matthew chapter 22. If you remember, in starting verse 23, that same day came him the Sadducees, which they asked them about the resurrection. And then further on down, verse 25, now there were with us seven brethren, and the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left him unto his brother, likewise the second also, and the third, and the seventh. So they're coming up with a real hypothetical situation here. In verse 28, therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. That's when Jesus then says, Jesus answered and said to them, you do err not knowing the scriptures. They didn't know the scriptures. They hadn't read or they hadn't remembered, nor the power of God. And then verse 30, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given to marriage, but as the angels of God in heaven. So he answered their question, and their ignorance was because they didn't know the scriptures. If they would have known the scriptures, they would have been able to answer this question. And again, you look at how the master teacher uses this situation to teach them. But when we kind of look globally, if you will, from 10,000 feet, as some may say, at the scriptures, there's a lot of things in the scriptures that if we don't read, then we don't understand. We don't have the wisdom and knowledge from God's word. So how about where we came from? Now, can anybody talk intelligently about where they came from without the scriptures? Somebody might say, well, you know, a long time ago and this, that. No. No, matter of fact, all the teaching that people try to come up with about where we came from is referring most of the time to creation, the beginning. How important is the scriptures? Sometimes it's good, maybe in our daily readings, maybe in our yearly readings, whatever you choose to do, to just start out in Genesis 1, chapter 1. When's the last time you've read the first couple chapters in Genesis? in the beginning. It's so critical for us to understand that. Because man anymore doesn't care about each other. They don't care about our origin. They don't care about who made us and why he put us here. And that leads to something else. And that's, why are we here? Where we came from? These are all reasons why we read. Why we are here? Why are we here? Somebody asked you, why are you here? I really don't know. No, we should know. The scriptures tell us why we're here, what we're supposed to be doing, why we're here. And then, where are we going? Great answer in life, question in life, and great answers from the scriptures. If you remove those three things from our life, where we came from, why we're here, and where we're going, can you imagine what life would be without direction? Without every day having some kind of why we're here? We get out of bed every morning. There's no doubt. We have all this figured out because the scriptures have told us, because we have read it and we understand it and we put it into practice. Well, let's move on here. There's different types of readers. Those who never read. Now, there's people that profess to be Christians that never read the scriptures. There is. And there's Christians that might say, well, I've read it, okay. But I know it all. I've got it all down. You remember what and I didn't write this one down, but you remember, and I believe it is 2 Peter, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 12. Let's turn over there. This is what Peter would tell you if he said, well, I know it all. I've read it all. I've done it all. I've been there. I've done that. 2 Peter 1, 12 says, wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in the remembrance of these things, though you know them and be established in the presence of truth. You know what's interesting about studying God's word? And you could study the same book, chapter, section of verses, and 3 years later revisit again, and there's so much more you'll get out of that by just putting in the remembrance of those things. Maybe there's things that you've grown and matured in, and when you read these events that go on, you can relate more now than you could before. But just remember that there's different types out there. How about those who read sparingly? Now, we'll make this as personal as we can get. Let's think back 1 week from now. Let's just go back 1 week. How many times did you open that book? Now, what some of you might say, well, you know, Rob, I'm busy. I'm real busy. I work, got a family, trying to help people. Now, there's times. I don't know. There's definitely days that go by I don't read. I'm not talking about that. But just, if this book isn't that important to you, then you're going to read it sparingly. Well, I open it up on Wednesday and Sunday. That seems to be enough to you know, God could never say to me, you haven't read, because I read it. It's sparingly, but I read it. You know, if this book is going to judge us on the last day, the things that are in it, there's not even a close second to the most important book in our life. How many times have your children seen you reading the scriptures at home? How many times have you read the scriptures with your children at home? Oh, I don't know. I've never seen my parents reading the scriptures. Shame on you. Absolutely shame on you. And shame on me. And shame on us not teaching our children to read the scriptures. It's part of who we are in our life. How about those who read selectively? Now, I guess we all read selectively in a certain way, for whether you're answering Bible questions or studying for a class. I'm not talking about that. Because the next one goes along with it. Those who read defensive. Do you know there's people, and we get questions like this through our website, and we don't know the motive of the person that's submitting the question. But there's some people out there, they're going to find error in the scriptures. They're going to dig, and a lot of the questions we're somewhat familiar with, but sometimes people, well, what about this? This apparent contradiction and this and that. And I try to answer the question as best I can. And maybe it's an honest question, but sometimes you can tell by how they, you know, well, what about Jesus turning water to wine? He drank alcohol. Arguments like that, you know where they're going. But how about us? Do we read the scriptures just to prove somebody else is wrong about something? No, we want to read the scriptures and with the intent that God intended us for. Just like this attitude, when he said that, they should have known, but they read with, if they knew anything, they read it with the intent of finding some wrong in somebody else that they know just enough to be dangerous, if you will. Well, what we should do is we should read it regularly. Let's look at a couple of verses. Acts chapter 8, verses 27 through 34, and I'm gonna probably do 25 to 37. So, and interesting, this is an interesting section of scriptures I'm always amazed by. Now we have somebody, the Ethiopian eunuch, that is obviously seeking the truth. And something that rings out to me every time I read this is that when somebody is seeking, they will find. There's been many examples in the scriptures where God has made a way for those that are seeking to come across, whether it's a preacher, a teacher, or somebody. We all know the story, but I want you to look at it from the aspect of, have you not read? Acts chapter 8, verse 25. Now, as an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go toward the south, along the road which goes down from the Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, and was returning, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Now, this is just me, but, you know, think about this. Back then, this guy's in a chariot. I mean, that's not the most ideal conditions. It's not in his home on a nice desk. But he's reading Isaiah the prophet. We have nice, clean environments, nice new Bibles or phones or whatever. Maybe the best of conditions. Do we read? Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. Of course, all that timing has to go on. Think about it now. Philip has to be there at the exact time, the chariot. God made it happen. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. We know that's from Isaiah 53 now. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and as a lamb before the shearer is silent. As he opened not his mouth, in his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask of you, and whom does the prophet say this, of himself or of some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Look how many times the scripture is emphasized in this short little story. He was reading the Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? The place in the scripture which he read. Then Philip, at the beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. The other thing that's amazing to this, and something we can all learn from, is is teaching others, reading the scripture, for instance, but mainly teaching others, is not always the most convenient time. Somebody might say, hey, can we have a Bible study? Well, I'm doing this. And the devil wants it to be inconvenient. He wants it. He always wants something to come up so we don't have to study the scriptures. He doesn't want us reading them. So if you don't read them, he wins. He wins. But what an opportunity. And this man was seeking. And we seek. And God will provide an opportunity. But are we going to accept it? Or are we going to reject the opportunity that he's given us? Hopefully, all of us understand that. Then let's turn over to Acts chapter 17. Another scripture about those reading regularly. Acts chapter 17, verses 10 through 12. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica, and that they received the word of all readiness and searched the scripture just every few months as to find out whether these things were so. Now, it doesn't say that, does it? Search the scriptures daily. It's our responsibility when something's taught, when something is preached, or whatever the situation may be, to take those things with readiness of mind, meaning I'm willing to accept it if it's true, and they search the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. The people then and the people now, the scriptures ought to be paramount to their life. They ought to be what's very important to them. And not that we'll stand in judgment one day and God will say, well, you didn't read, or have you not read about what I want you to do. It's very important for each and every one of us to do that. Well, what kind of reader are you? Are you those that never read? Read sparingly, read selectively, read defensively, or do you read regularly? We'll have more to say about that in a minute. Well, what's the importance of importance of good reading? We kind of already hit on that a little bit. Well, to be blessed. Let's look at a verse that Virgil read Wednesday night. Psalms chapter 1. And look at it from this standpoint. Psalms chapter 1, 1 through 3. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seats of the scornful. But what? His delight is in the law of the Lord. The Bible, the scriptures, however you want to say that. And in his law, he does what? He meditates every once in a while, just when it's convenient for him? Nope. In his law, he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. That's if you do this. Here's the blessing. That brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaves also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. If that's not what this is saying, you tell me what it's saying. To be blessed. The importance of reading God's word. Importance of putting it to practice. Importance of delighting in it. Meditating on it day and night. Well, what about you? How about Revelations 1:3? You can look that up. Verse 3 says, Blessed is he who reads. Blessed is he who reads. And those who hear the words of this prophecy and keeps those things which are written in it, for the time is near. It's taught. How about the importance of reading? You gain understanding. And some might say, well, ignorance is bliss, Rob. If I don't know, I'm not accountable. Well, that's false thinking already. Ephesians 3, 3 through 5. Ephesians 3, 3 through 5. Let's just see what the scriptures say about this subject. How that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I have briefly written altogether, by which when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in another ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets. 2 Timothy, let's just read 3 through 17, verses we're all familiar with, but look at it from this standpoint about have you not read. And I think Patrick brought this up in class. 2 Timothy 3, 14. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of. Now watch it here. How did he learn? Knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from an adulthood, no childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul's telling Timothy this. Your mother and grandmother read you the Scriptures, taught you. And then the profound statement, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. How are we going to know what every good work is if we don't read the Scriptures? So we see here, importance of good reading, to be blessed, verify that. To gain understanding, verify that. To be challenged. Have you ever thought about reading the Scriptures to be challenged? Somebody might say, to be challenged, I don't get that. Well, let's read Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. One verse here. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now here's the power, piercing even to the division of spirit, or soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. That's the Scriptures, the thoughts and intents of the heart. And there is no... Now listen to this. This is humbling. I wasn't going to include this, but when I read this, I thought, I'm including 13. And this is going to get us in the book if we're not in it. And there is no creature hidden from his sight. God knows everything we do. But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him whom we must give an account. Must give an account. So we're going to be challenged. We're absolutely going to be challenged by this. Let's skip over to 1 Thessalonians 2:13. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which you heard of us, the apostle at that point, you received it not as the word of man, but as it is the truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. It's going to challenge us. Well, why else read? What else? To grow in hope. Romans 15:4, verse we're all familiar with. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Each and every one of us have that responsibility. Well, at some more here. Steps to better reading. Read regularly. We've already talked about that several times. In Deuteronomy 17, 18, and 19, hear what the scriptures have to say. And it shall be, when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of this law in a book out of that which is before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read therein all the days of his life. And he shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, to keep all the words of these laws and these statutes, to do them. Read regularly. How about 1 Timothy 4:13? 1 Timothy 14, till I come, give attendance to reading. To reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Read devotionally. In Ezra chapter 7 and verse 10, let's see what that says. For Ezra had prepared his heart, very important, to seek the law of the Lord. Not only that, and to do it, and to teach statutes and ordinances in Israel. Read devotionally, read with intent. James chapter 1. Again, we can state we read the Bible through and through from end to end. And something way more important than just reading the scriptures, and that is putting into practice that which we read. James chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. That's how important it is. Be you doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man, beholdeth his face in the glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth away, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. There's ever a scripture that we can memorize, how important it is not only to read, but make application of that which we read. Well, emphasize that, and you know, if you talk to people that read the scriptures, they may have everybody has a way to study, to keep track. I mean, how about read and highlight your Bible? One suggestion, how about read aloud to yourself? There's a lot to say about these things as far as remembering and emphasizing that which you read. Just a suggestion. Well, we got a couple more scriptures to consider. Have you not read? Let's look at Matthew chapter 7, 24, similar to what we just read there in James 1. Matthew chapter 7, verses 24 through 27. Therefore, whosoever hear these sayings of mine and doeth them. So you can pretty much say, whosoever readeth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Now, I'm kind of a visual guy, and if somebody has a visual in a sermon, I'll probably remember it. And I remember Alan preaching on this, and right up here on the board, he had this castle made out of sand right next to the beach. Now, if you've ever made a castle by the sand, you know, you got time to do it, maybe the shore's out. But once you build that thing, and once that wave comes in and it just crushes it. Now, if you could go to the beach with some concrete and some bricks and some mortar and you build, fortify this thing, and I've never seen a concrete castle by the shore. But Alan's point was, God's point is, now in the scriptures, is that how is our foundation? Is this built out of sand? Or is it built out of concrete? Or is it built out of rock? And if you're not studying the scriptures and applying God's word, your foundation is sand. Because as Brian was talking about in the class this morning, when the storms of life come up, it's going to crush you if your foundation isn't of rock, isn't of concrete. And how do you get that? How do you get a foundation of concrete? Oh, I've been a Christian for 40 years. I tell you, sometimes I see Christians may have been a Christian for 40 years. They don't have any concrete. After 40 years, they still have sand. They still have sand. We might start out with concrete, and it might deteriorate away because we don't have the foundation which we keep building in Jesus Christ. And the floods come, the difficulties of life come. And sometimes in a positive way, we see some things come into Christians' life, and we're like, wow, how did they get through that? And we're thinking, they have a strong foundation. They have the right perspective in life. Things are going to happen, and they don't just wither away. But they didn't get that foundation just miraculously thrown on them. They read the scriptures, and they applied the scriptures, and that's how you become and have a strong foundation. Reading the scriptures, applying the scriptures, getting the wisdom and knowledge from the scripture will give us that solid foundation that we so desire. And use the scriptures for encouragement. Brian was talking about difficulties. Refer to the scriptures. They're in our heart. Are we going to apply them or not? When there's difficulties, do we think about the promises that God has said, that I will be with you, I will never neglect you or leave you. Have faith in me. Does that mean we'll be a life without problems? That's not what he said. He says that the rain will come on the just and the unjust. And how many times does Solomon say that time and chance, things happen. Things happen. And what are we going to do with the things we have happen to us in this life? One final scripture, Joshua 1 and verse 8 and 9. Joshua 1, verses 8 and 9. The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have a good success. Well, what have we learned? I think without a doubt, from the scriptures, we have learned how important the reading and applying the scriptures. And think back, everybody has their own schedule. Have you not read? And how important having that book in our lives. Now, take use of technology. Because I have my Bible with me 24/7 a day. And I have opened this thing in the car, when I'm on the side of the road, at work, during lunch. It's great. Now, I don't carry this around with me at work. I don't, because I'm working. But I have this all the time. And I might think of something, and I sit down during my break or lunch or whenever. And what a beautiful thing to have 10 translations in your hands, having the Word of God in your hands. And as I said before, when, as a life of a Christian, we know how important God's word is in our life. Whether it's on a cell phone app or our own scriptures, it doesn't matter. It's important to us. And we refer to it and we know it. We have the wisdom to guide us in life. And a lot of times our problems in life are self-imposed because we don't know God's word. Why did I make that mistake? God's word told me not to do that, not to go there, not to say that. I should know better. I need to read. I need to have the wisdom from God's word come out to me. Make it a part of your life. We don't want God to say on the day of judgment, you didn't read, you didn't learn, you didn't listen, and you didn't apply my word. And you had ample opportunity. I even gave you a cell phone with an app on it that you can have it in your hands 24/7, no matter where you're at. Well, that's it for now. I extend the invitation. Think about this. This is a lot of what I brought out today was where I can be better, where I can say, how can I be better as a Christian? But when I was reading the scriptures and I thought, man, look how many times Jesus told the Pharisees and told his people, his Jewish brethren, haven't you read? It's not necessarily inferred you should have read and you should have known. And he's rebuking them, and I don't want to be rebuked by Jesus Christ in the end. We now extend the Lord's invitation. Whether you need to be baptized for the remission of sins, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized, or you need to have the prayers of the congregation, whatever the case may be, you can come now as we stand and sing.